Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much and good morning. One of the major thrusts of the Protestant Reformation movement was the doctrine of sola scriptura. That Latin phrase means scripture alone. Many of the reformers, such as Martin Luther and John Calvin, were against the practice of the Roman Catholic Church to elevate tradition on a level with the Word of God. In fact, if tradition in Catholicism and the Bible were contradictory, and they were in many cases, tradition prevailed. For example, the Bible does not teach that celibacy is required of preachers or other members of the body of Christ. Yet celibacy has been the rule for priests and nuns in the Catholic Church for many years. What I have said about celibacy can be said about every peculiar doctrine of Roman Catholicism, such as the primacy of Peter, the doctrine of purgatory, and the infallibility of the Pope. These doctrines and practices originated in tradition. They cannot be sustained from the Scriptures. In our day, various forms of Pentecostalism have claimed direct revelation from God. Pentecostals generally accept the Bible as the Word of God, but they believe they receive extra-biblical communication from God. Hundreds and hundreds of examples could be given, but I shall confine my investigation of the topic to one source, Dr. Jack Deere's book, Surprised by the Voice of God, How God Speaks Today Through Prophecies, Dreams, and Visions. Dr. Deere was formerly Associate Professor of Old Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary, an independent Baptist seminary. But he became convinced that God's revelation to man was not complete, that God wishes to and does speak outside His Word. A few brief excerpts from Dr. Deere's book will show the direction of modern Pentecostalism. Dr. Deere was speaking with a man named Robert when he saw the word pornography in large, capital, block letters. He writes, "I realized I was having what some believers call a word of knowledge. It was not intuition. Knowledge about Robert was being given to me by the Spirit of God. For months, I had been praying for God to speak to me like this, asking Him to impart to me supernatural knowledge about people so that I might minister to them more effectively." Page 14. "I have no desire to be hypercritical, but there is no evidence in this encounter that Jack Deere had received supernatural knowledge. Obviously, he can interpret his experience any way he chooses, but he cannot support his conclusion from the Bible. I am not questioning his sincerity, but I am suggesting that his interpretation contradicts the Bible. I, for one, prefer to remain true to the Scriptures." Dr. Deere makes reference to what James said about God's answering Elijah's prayer. He then says, "According to James, these same things can happen to us today." In the same context, he referred to angelic visitations in the life of Abraham. He affirms that what happened then happens today. Just read your Bible. Page 26. "Do we have angelic visits in our day? What is the purpose of those visits? How do we show they are nothing more than hallucinations? How many women Sarah's age have born children? If what happened then can happen today, 90-year-old women can have some Isaacs." Dr. Deere rightly criticizes liberal theologians for denying the great miracles of the Bible. He then says that many conservatives are filled with the same kind of unbelief as the liberals. "For many Orthodox Christians, the Bible is a book of abstract truths about God rather than a guide into the supernatural realm of God's power." Page 26. Dr. Deere is not being exactly straight when he makes such unfounded and unreasonable accusations against what he calls Orthodox Christians. "I vigorously deny all modern revelations. but I believe all the miracles of the Bible actually happened. I believe the Bible is a supernatural guide in the realm of God's power. According to Paul, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Some of Dr. Deere's statements are biting criticisms of those who do not agree with his theological positions. For example, the Orthodox who do not accept direct revelation from God in this age experience very little of God's supernatural power. Beyond taking us to heaven, we don't expect much from God, and usually we get what we expect. Pages 26 and 27. Millions of people since the New Testament canon was closed have lived close to God. Their lives have been a blessing to all who knew them. Is he saying that they did not expect much from God and did not receive it? If we believe the Word and strive to live by its precepts, are we receiving less than God intended? Dr. Deere may not mean it, but what he said is an insult to all who have trusted the divinely revealed will of God. Dr. Deere believes we share with the apostles the very same power that gave them the supernatural ability to hear God and to work miracles. Even the dead can be raised when we believe. Page 47. Does Dr. Deere really believe that? The Apostle Peter raised Tabitha from the dead. Acts 9:40 through 42. Eutychus fell out a window from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul restored him to life. Acts 20:9 and 10. Do Dr. Deere and any of his associates have the faith to raise someone from the dead? Oral Roberts claimed he raised a child who died in one of his audiences, but no reasonable person believes that. No Pentecostal or charismatic has the power to raise the dead, to replace missing limbs, or to perform other miracles. If they have, they would surely submit to investigation by honest seekers after truth. They will not attempt any of these supernatural feats because they know they cannot do them. Dr. Deere asserts that visions and dreams were normal for the people of God. Page 53. God's special messengers, both in the Old Testament and in the New, received messages from God in visions and dreams. But they were not normal. At least, not normal in the sense we use the word normal. Dr. Deere's knowledge of the Bible should have prevented his making such a blunder. And what would be the purpose for visions and dreams in the Christian era? Does God have new information he wishes to give us, information not found in the Scriptures? Some Christians, Dr. Deere asserts, live all their lives without ever consciously experiencing a direct communication from the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or one of the heavenly angels. Page 53. I have a revelation for Dr. Deere and for other charismatics, a revelation based on revelation, not on modern dreams or so-called visions. No one, I repeat, no one in modern times has been in direct communication with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, or with one of the heavenly angels. I have no doubt many Pentecostals believe they have had such direct communication. But according to the inspired Word of God, they are simply mistaken. Tragically, they are doing great harm to the cause of Christ by pretending to have direct communication from God. Why are they doing so much harm? They deceive people into believing the Bible is not complete, even though it claims to be. In addition, they make second-class citizens of those who have not enjoyed such communication with God. Their teaching on this topic is a source of enormous discouragement to those who have not been selected of God to experience His direct contacts. I am not going to accuse Dr. Deere of deliberately perverting Scripture to sustain his belief in extra-biblical revelation. But he does misinterpret and misapply some passages. When Jesus Christ was preparing his disciples for his ascension to the Father, he promised he would send the Holy Spirit. And when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16:13. Dr. Deere says concerning our Lord's promise to his apostles, he promised the Holy Spirit would teach them all things, remind them of his words, testify about him, guide them into all truth, and show them things to come. Page 61. Dr. Deere says that the teaching, reminding, testifying, guiding, and showing are all normal functions of the Holy Spirit. Were these promises made just to the apostles, or are they applicable to all generations of Christians? If they were meant for us, why do we need the Bible? If modern charismatics were included in the Lord's promise regarding the supernatural guidance of God's Holy Spirit, are they not negligent in recording the Spirit's guidance and preserving it in the Scriptures for future generations? Surely no one is so hard-hearted that he will not add to the Bible the revelations which come to people like Dr. Deere. But, dear friends, Jesus was not speaking of Dr. Deere or any other modern Pentecostal. He was addressing his own apostles, who are to provide for all generations the word God wanted them to believe and to obey. Besides, the so-called revelations I have read, and I have read many of them, are nothing more than pablum. Michael G. Moriarty's book, The New Charismatics, A Concerned Voice Responds to Dangerous Trends, gives numerous examples of so-called prophecies. And incidentally, Moriarty is himself a Pentecostal. He tells of a speaker who said he had an authoritative word from the Lord. He said there was a man in the audience by the name of Bill who had a backache and who was being healed. He asked the man to stand up. When no one stood up, he asked again for the man to stand. Finally, a student stood up and confessed that he had a backache. But his name was Mike, not Bill. The speaker said, "Close enough." He then proceeded with the healing. Pages 101 and 102. So much for modern revelations. In most cases, they are pure nonsense, or worse. There is much more in Dr. Deere's book which demands refutation. But I want to turn to another matter. Have you ever noticed in reading the Old Testament that prophets and other inspired men anticipated a new age when a new covenant would be given? How can there be a new covenant without new commandments, new regulations, new promises, and new blessings? Isaiah provides some insight when he speaks of the coming of the kingdom in the last days. Isaiah 2:2-4. Daniel writes of a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, one whose sovereignty will never be left to other people, and that will last forever. Daniel 2:44. Jeremiah tells us of the new covenant which God will inaugurate. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:31-34. The Old Testament prophets looked forward to a new covenant and new revelation. The New Testament indicates that the supernatural revelation of God to man ceased with the closing of the New Testament canon. No direct communication from God has been given. None is needed, and none will be given. Is that really what the Bible teaches? There is no doubt, dear friends, about that truth. Divine revelation ceased when the Apostle John laid down his pen of inspiration on the Isle of Patmos. The so-called modern revelations are fraudulent. They do not come from God Almighty. Obviously, you have a right to expect me to prove that proposition. From a purely logical viewpoint, you know all the so-called modern revelations cannot come from God. They are often contradictory. Since God cannot lie, Hebrews 6:18, you know that communications from any source which are contradictory are false. Certainly, the God of heaven will not give one idea to one charismatic and a different idea to another. But even if the concepts were perfectly harmonious, they cannot come from God, because He no longer miraculously reveals any information. Please give careful attention to passages which teach that truth. The Apostle Peter labored to provide the information and inspiration early Christians needed to avoid being led astray by false teachers. He knew the false teachers would bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and would bring upon themselves swift destruction. He also knew that many would follow their pernicious or destructive ways, and through them the way of truth would be evil spoken of. 2 Peter 2:1-2. To prepare those Christians for what lay ahead, Peter assured them that they had all they needed to weather the storm of controversy. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things which pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1:2-3. Is it possible anyone could misunderstand what Peter wrote? God has given unto us all things which pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. If God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, what is left for the Holy Spirit to provide miraculously to this age? If God has not given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, we have a serious problem with the Scriptures. Would not all of this indicate that we cannot trust the Bible to tell us the truth? Either we have all we need for salvation, or we do not. If we do, which Peter strongly affirms, then modern Pentecostalism cannot be harmonized with the Word of truth. If we do not have all we need, the Scriptures have misled us. Why would we appeal to a book which we cannot accept without question? Besides, how does anyone know that what he has allegedly received is truly from God? What standard should we use in judging new ideas and concepts? If the Bible said nothing more about the completeness and the finality of divine revelation, these words from 2 Peter would be adequate. But there is much more. One of the greatest passages in the Bible dealing with the nature and authority of God's book is 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or mature, completely furnished unto all good works. A brief analysis of this vital passage should help us to understand the false claims of those who pretend to receive direct communication from God. The Scriptures Timothy had grown up knowing and loving were the Old Testament Scriptures. They had brought him to know who Jesus was and to obey the gospel. But Paul had in mind both Old Testament and New Testament Scripture when he affirmed that all Scripture is given by divine inspiration. Jesus confirms that truth when he said to the apostles, "The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth." John 16:13. The Old Testament and the New constitute the whole of divine revelation. In other words, we have all we need, and we need all we have. Any more would be superfluous. If you wanted to tell men and women that the Bible includes all the information about God, about His Son, about the plan of salvation, and about how God expects His children to live, how could you say it plainer than this? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, or discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, completely furnished unto all good works. Is there any possibility that anyone can miss the three major thrusts in these verses? All Scripture is inspired, profitable, and complete. It completely furnishes us unto all good works. Do you want to know who God is and how He has so graciously provided for all our needs, both physical and spiritual? Then dig deeply into God's book and you will find the answers. If you have a desire to know who Jesus is and what He has done for our redemption, the Bible provides all the information we need. If you are seeking salvation from your sins and the eternal home of the soul, look no further than the Bible. It tells you what you must believe and what you must do to become and to remain a faithful Christian. The Bible urges you to walk in the light as Christ is in the light, that you may continue to have the remission of sins. 1 John 1:7. Are we honoring our God when we accuse Him of giving us a Bible which does not tell us all we need to know to be saved and to stay saved? Dr. John MacArthur's book, Charismatic Chaos, gives an illustration of what many charismatics have come to think of the Bible. He includes in his book the following letter: "I do not feel the need for study of the Scriptures, for I know Jesus as He has revealed Himself to me within. And as He dwells in me, there is the Word. I go to Scripture, and Scripture is vital and necessary, but neither crucial nor central. For I have Him, or rather He has me. Scriptures are a secondary source. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Word in me, the very spiritual body of Jesus Christ, is primary. I say this as a living experience out of what He has given me to say." Page 84. Is this man's response to the Word typical of charismatics? It almost certainly is not, but I find no reason for its not being. There is one other passage I must examine briefly today. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Jude 3. Two expressions from this passage demand further discussion: "the faith" and "once delivered to the saints." The term "the faith" in the New Testament always refers to the system of faith or the gospel. The word "once" in Greek is hapax and means once for all, once never to be repeated. In other words, when the Holy Spirit had inspired the New Testament, that means an end to revelation. There will never be any more from God Almighty. Any so-called modern revelations are not from God. They are not to be believed. They are not to be obeyed. The Bible and the Bible alone is our guide to take us home to heaven. Before our time expires, I want to make it very clear that I believe and accept all the Bible as God's inspired Word. I do not believe we live under the Old Covenant. but I believe the Old Testament came from the very mind of God. The Old Testament was given to the Jewish nation to serve them until Jesus came into the world and gave us a new covenant. Paul called the law of Moses our schoolmaster or tutor. It was designed to bring the Jews to Christ. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster or tutor. Galatians 3:24 and 25. We are no longer to hear Moses and the prophets, but their message came from God to the Jewish nation. It was divinely inspired. When we deny the need for or the reality of additional revelation, we are not denying, at least I'm not denying, the power of God or the love of God. I am simply agreeing with the New Testament writers that God's revelation to man is complete in the Bible. When the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, was nearing completion, the Holy Spirit said through John, "For I testify unto every man who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Revelation 22, 18 and 19. If no one is permitted to add to or take away from the last book of the Bible, are they free to add to or take away from any other books of the Bible? What a sad day it will be in the judgment for those who have perverted God's message to man. What modern charismatics add, in most cases, is pure pablum, but it is still tampering with God's will as revealed in the Bible. Please do not attempt to change God's word, and please do not listen to anyone who does. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.